Good morning. So I need to bring you back about 10 years. We were driving back from our family cabin, and at the time, I worked for a large corporation. And although I initially thought this was my dream job, I had landed the perfect career, it wasn't. I knew this because, honestly, I hated Mondays. And because I hated Mondays so much, I actually started to hate Sundays because I knew that Monday was coming somewhere along that line. And on this particular Sunday, I got super vulnerable with my husband. And I shared with him that how much I hated work. And hello, he knew it. It's my husband. But I was really talking about it. And I was at the point where I was about to be sobbing, like the uncontrollable, can't catch your breath sort of sobbing. I know that some of you, at least females, have been there as you're telling your husband something like this. And I couldn't imagine walking through those doors every single Monday for the rest of my life, clocking in, putting my lunch in the communal fridge, going down and sitting in my cubicle. And I turned to Preston, and I was telling him this, and he said to me the most magical words that he's ever said, even more than I do. He said these words, and here they are. 10 words. Babe, you are too talented to sit in a cubicle. Right there, that statement was all I needed. Preston was and still is my biggest raving fan sitting here in the front row. Although there's nothing wrong with working in a cubicle, it really wasn't for me. I was sharing this sermon with my daughter. She called me while I was on vacation or a business trip this last week, and she wanted to just talk, like talk and talk. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what else we're going to talk about. She's 11. And I said, I'm writing this sermon right now. Do you want me to read it to you? And she's like, of course. So 30 minutes later, well, not quite, about 25 minutes later, she says this to me. She goes, wait. So like after everything I just taught her, she goes, wait, Mom, you worked in a cubicle? You plus a cubicle? That just does not add up. So clearly she's also a big fan. But that decision of leaving that career, cubicle or not, was the best decision for my life and our family. At the time, she was just 1 year old. Now, 2 months later, I proudly wear the entrepreneurship badge of honor, we'll call it. I had launched my very own company. And yes, it was a quick decision. My family was like, wait, what? You're working for this company and you're leaving? Yes, to be an entrepreneur. Aren't you proud? And so at that time, it was a quick decision, but that's really all I needed was for Preston to say those 10 words, and it got me going. It got me to make a huge change. If any of you have started your own business or maybe perhaps planted a church, I have or have a spouse, or maybe you just know someone that has done this sort of thing, they need a raving fan. Like a really big raving fan. They need, potentially, a Preston in their life. And not just for that initial confidence boost, but all along the entire journey. Truly, though, we all need a raving fan in our life. Not just business owners, not just church planters, but we need someone that no matter what, they are there cheering us on through lives biggest and smallest times that we go through. The times when you have no idea how you're gonna finish that race, change that job, have that baby, find Mr. or Mrs. Right. It doesn't have to be a spouse or anyone that you're particularly close with, but it takes two things. A, being a little bit vulnerable with that person, and also you need them to just say, I believe in you and you got this. They may even believe in you more than you believe in yourself. We can find these situations all over the Bible. Someone was there cheering on another one. His example is Paul when he tells Timothy, don't let people look down on you because you are young. I'm sure we know tons of experiences where we have seen a young person that is just crushing it at life, but they had someone cheering them on. Now, clearly, Paul was cheering him on, telling him that age doesn't matter and he can do it. Push away the words and the naysayers and forge forward. When I started my first company, I was 28. And you can imagine, as I was sitting in offices trying to prove to businesses that they needed to be my client, that they were having maybe a little bit difficult time with that. And my husband, Preston, at the time said, "Babe, you got this." And I kept going. So chances are you have had more than one person show in your life to cheer you on. At least I hope so. But the person may change from day to day or even thing to thing. But nevertheless, you need this person at all times. Now, I believe that a raving fan is important, but it isn't the only person you need in your life. Although it would be super fun to have this like cheering squad behind you all the time, it would get quite exhausting, maybe a little annoying, and it would probably repel all other people from your life. But I actually believe we need five different types of people in our lives, and I'm going to walk you through that. These five specific spots, and making sure, of course, we have more than that, not just five people, but that we have these specific spots there. The raving fan sits at the top of this list today, and for you note-taking times, this is where you write the number one, and then raving fan. But the other four types are just as equally important and needed. It's possible for that person to fill more than one spot in your life, for sure. And I'll explain a little bit more. So my life is chock full of these experiences, stories that demonstrate the value of having that kind of person in your daily life. Throughout my lifetime, I have been, it's been crucial to my growth and as a person and success in all areas, both personally, or personally, professionally, and spiritually. Once I took the leap from the cubicle to my own gig, I realized I didn't have all the answers. Yes, I was growing up a bit, and I realized I didn't actually know everything. I needed a guide, and I needed someone that could lead me, someone that I could call on when I had a question. I needed a mentor. Number two is mentor. I was thinking, where in the world do you find yourself one of these people? And I'm sure many of you have felt the same when you've heard everybody needs a mentor, right? Like, do they pick you? Do you pick them? Do you pay them? Is there a place you can go to, like, just pick one out? And what I came to find out is that sometimes these mentors are informal, and sometimes they're real formal. Sometimes they don't even know you exist, or sometimes they are programmed on your favorites in your phone. I'll explain more. This person you're looking for needs to have a willingness to share information. Information you need to move you forward. It could be about how to market your business, or how to nurse your baby, or how to remodel your house, how to make sense of the Bible. This person just has to have the capacity to point you in the right direction. Whatever area you're focused on in that moment in your life, find that mentor in that specific area. I've had a lot of informal mentors. I was searching, meaning like that I'm searching the World Wide Web, trying to find any answers that I could on things that maybe I was struggling with. The thing is when you cast your net wide like that, like on the internet, you get a lot of mixed opinions. You want to find your person and go all in. Today's experts share a wide variety of things on all different topics, and one person you really feel like you align with could be that person that speaks into your life in all different areas that you're focused on. And again, they may never know you exist because you're consuming their knowledge without them knowing. But nothing really beats an in-person mentor. If you are blessed to have one, cherish them. I will never forget the day I met Janie. This is where I take a drink of coffee. Okay. Janie's presence overtook the entire room we were in the most beautiful way. She has this white long hair, bright blue eyes. She was wearing this huge statement necklace and this white flowy shirt. I will never, ever forget it. At the time of my life was a mess. My marriage was broken nearly beyond repair. My priorities were all messed up. And I was actually living in, I wasn't living in that life that I had created and that my husband and I had created together. I was at this particular event for work, to work on my business, but God clearly had other things in mind. I needed a mentor, and I found one. Someone that had gone before me, someone that could point me in the right direction, and that she did. It wasn't long till I had shared everything with her, like dumped it all out. If those of you have spent a lot of time with me, you know that's probably pretty common. But I imagine she's really used to that because she has a gift of listening and truly simply guiding. I was lamenting on about how mundane my life was. Get home, cook dinner, clean up, put kids to bed, maybe rest a little bit, clean up, go to bed. And now do it all over again. I told her I hated the kitchen. I hated chores. I actually, at that time, really hated even being at home. And she said this, "You serve your family there. It isn't a to-do, but a service." I needed this. I wasn't looking for it. I was just complaining. She wasn't looking to dish it out at that when she was coming to this meeting. But in that moment, Jamie became my mentor. Over the years, I've spent weekends at her home in California, and we have exchanged countless text messages where she has so lovingly guided me back to our Creator. Because He, our Creator, is the very best mentor. This book right here, which we have plenty of if you don't have one back there, this book, the Bible, is filled with guiding words and actions for our daily life. Yes, a book written well before all of our time is applicable today. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, "Follow my example as I follow Christ." Do you have someone in your life who is showing you the way and pointing you in the right direction? I want you to write down your name if they did, and I want you to thank them and tell them how much you cherish them. Before I give you our third person, I have a tiny little confession to make. So, I am really stubborn. Now, that might be a surprise to some of you in the room, but it is not a surprise to my husband. He has so lovingly and sometimes not so lovingly pointed this out, that I am stubborn and just like my mother. Yes, he went there. The thing is, though, she knows it. I know it. Now, all of you know it. So the next person we need in our life is a coach. And let me tell you, as a stubborn person, it takes a special coach to get through this thick skull of mine. I'm opinionated, vocal, and I know the answer. Or at least I think I do. I once asked Preston if he would coach me in my business. And he laughed and said, "You could not pay me enough." So because of this, I have a specific business coach who happens to not be named Preston. I am seriously the best version of me when I have someone to bounce my crazy off of. And they help me sort it all out, and it pushes me to be a better person, a better me, actually. My current coach, reminds me that I'm made for way more. And sometimes I have to go back to the drawing board because of this and expand on what I'm working on. Jesus himself pushed people out of their comfort zone every chance he could, and I believe he is still doing that today. He does it to me all the time. Although you may think a mentor and a coach are pretty similar, they definitely fill two different roles. A mentor will guide you in the direction, and the coach will run behind you as you push yourself beyond what you thought you could do. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, "So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing." Who in your life coaching you, who's encouraging you from the sidelines to help you be better than you were the day before? We all need this person in our life. Now, our fourth person, I believe, is even more precious than the rest. more precious than a raving fan, a mentor, and a coach. This person is a friend. And if I was blessed with a singing voice, I would sing from Toy Story, "You Got a Friend in Me," but I will spare you all of that. I was actually a little nervous my mic was on when I was singing over there, because you would all be scared. These people, they know your heart. They know your Enneagram number. They know your kids' names. They remember when you announced that you were pregnant. And they know your deepest desires. If you are lucky in your life, you have a handful of these people. I've learned that these relationships are ones to hold on to tight through all of the things, because they are worthy of the fight, worthy of the hard conversations that sometimes you have to have, the moments you want to walk away because on the other side, you have the deepest, most amazing friendship. I have given the title of best friend to a few, like probably many of you have, and one in particular that holds this title still, I asked her to be my friend. Actually, I think I pretty much just told her that I was going to be her next best friend. I'm not kidding. So I had invited her to my birthday party. And when we were in the bathroom, yes, girls do actually go to the bathroom together. I'm not sure why, but that's what we do. We were in the bathroom, and I said, you may think this sounds like, okay, so sorry. I said, you need to be my best friend. So I know you may think this sounds like this happened like maybe in elementary school or something, but this was just 5 years ago. I needed someone in my close proximity to go deep with. Someone that I had common life goals with, someone that had the same age kids as me, someone that loved Jesus, someone that could tell me it was picture day at school or send me the list of that week's spelling words. Spelling words before the test. I needed someone that would come over when I was bawling and I had no idea what to do with my life. And someone that would celebrate the biggest wins of my career and someone that could just be there through everything. The good and the bad and the happy and the sad. I needed her so badly. So clearly she said yes. And because I know she's listening to this podcast, because that's what best friends do, thank you, Tracy, for being there with everything. Now, whether you're introverted or extroverted, 29 or 59, blonde or brunette, male or female, a Viking fan or a Packer fan, clearly we got two sides this week, you need a best friend. Someone that truly knows your heart's desires. Find them, and when you find them, hold on tight. The pages of the Bible tell of friendships like this, and I have to be honest here. I didn't grow up reading the Bible. I was raised in a loving home, but the Bible and the stories in it were not familiar to me. While putting this message together, I reached out to Sten and I said, I need a really great example of friendship from the Bible, and he tells me this is basically the 101 on it. He actually said, this is the Bible's most famous friendship. So I thought, well, that would obviously be a good one, right? These two friends happen to be David and Jonathan. Sten explained that it's the go-to example of friendship because it's a beautiful depiction of it. Nothing demonstrates it better than their exchange written about in 1 Samuel. So here's the verse. Jonathan's dad, Saul, is king, but David is next in line. And Saul is jealous and on a rampage. David is fleeing for his life, and then this happens. Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. Don't be afraid, Jonathan reassured him. My father will never find you. You're going to be the king of Israel, and I will be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware. So the two of them renewed their solemn pact before the Lord. Then Jonathan returned home while David stayed at Horesh. Jonathan knew David was afraid and went to encourage him in the midst of maybe one of the most sacred moments in his life. There is no better friend than that. Our hope is that the people in this room, over time, if they haven't already, become that kind of friend to you. Now, last but not least is our final type. We've discussed raving fans, mentors, coaches, friends, and last but not least is our peers. I am sure you can see how one person could possibly fill all these different spots. I don't recommend it, but at times it's necessary. I oftentimes call my friend Tracy and I tell her, okay, I need you to put on your coaching hat, or no counseling today, please just be friend Tracy. I need you, the cool thing is Tracy is not only a mom, a wife, a Jesus follower, but she's also a business owner, making her my peer in multiple areas. She keeps me, my head in the game in both life and business. She is there to mastermind with, to share stories of parenting, and how to up our game in basically every single area of our lives. You are literally locking arms to help support each other in so many areas. I think in many instances, the disciples were peers. They all had this crazy guy called the Messiah asking to do the wild things, like follow him wherever he goes. And one of my favorites to picture was actually already shared with you by Brian. And I like to picture it like it happened in real life because it did actually happen in real life. So picture yourself in that moment. It's when Jesus was on the boat with the disciples and he's sleeping during an epic storm. I can hardly imagine this. They're extremely confused, as they should be and as you probably would be. And they're scared, because why wouldn't you be? But they were in it together. You can find this full story in Luke, but there is one snippet, Luke 8, 24 through 25. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Can you imagine this? Then Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and they subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked. Frightened and amazed, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." Together they went and woke him, and together they asked one another, "Who is this?" They were on this wild ride together. They needed one another. Can you imagine if there was only one person that was Jesus at that moment? Scary. I don't know if the disciples were best friends or not. Heck, they often even times fought about who was better, but they were all in a similar spot. Like it or not, they were walking the same path called by Jesus to follow him and to carry on the work he set out to do. I can't imagine walking that line without others in my life alongside me. I can't imagine being a parent or a spouse, a professional, a follower of Jesus without other people around me who are on the same journey. These people don't just show up on your doorstep overnight. I know this. You may have to ask them to be in your life. You may be able to plunk people in these spots for now, or maybe that's what you've been doing. But I believe, like Sten said in the beginning, is that our best relationships are yet to come. I believe we were made for more, and this includes our relationships. Starting in October, we are launching our fall small groups. Now, you don't have to sign up. It's not a requirement to attend this church that you sign up, or even to get into heaven. I imagine there isn't a spot when you arrive in heaven where Jesus says, "Okay, you lived a great life, you gave your heart over to me, you volunteered as much as you could, you created that nonprofit where you fed like 1,000 kids every day, but you know that one time in church you're attending in fall 2019 where you didn't join that small group. Can you maybe explain that a little bit more?" I don't think that's going to happen. In all seriousness, you don't have to join a small group, but guess what? You get to. You get to connect on a deeper level with people you are sitting with each Sunday. You get to dive into the Bible and maybe a study and make more sense of it. You get to grow in your faith. And along the way, you may just find one or all five of these people to intentionally fill your life with. Will it be a sacrifice? Sure. Will you maybe have to find a sitter? Sure. Will it maybe interfere with something else already on your schedule? More than likely. Will it possibly be at the same time as a Viking-Packer game? No. We are not that foolish. This is what I know for sure. It will be worth it. We need these people, specifically these five people, and we believe that they're sitting around you right now in this church. As much as we work on creating relationships here on Sundays, before, in between, and after, we know that in these lines, we cannot form the deepest of relationships. This is why we're inviting you to circle up, to sit around a table or a cozy living room, and create these relationships. Relationships that were truly made for way more. Thank you. I'm going to invite Sten up to close us in prayer.